2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll be looking at verses 7 through 12 and then jumping on through 16 through 18. Pastor Kyle's read that for us. Have you ever seen someone lose heart? Maybe today you're struggling with issues and you're on the verge of losing heart. Maybe you've already lost heart yourself. Maybe you're overcome with despair. The emotion of despair can paralyze and debilitate even the strongest of souls. Pressures from every side can be perplexing. Persecution can make us feel as though we've been struck down. When life is filled with despair, we must not give up. As we look at Paul's words, he had experiences that caused him to despair. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 1:8, "We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself." If you find yourself under great pressure, you can be a candidate for despair. If you suffer a huge hardship, you can be a candidate for despair. If the Apostle Paul, who lived and breathed God's word, who was called directly by Christ, if even he can fall into despair, any one of us can find ourselves losing hope at some point. We might find ourselves falling into the pit of darkness. So how do we keep that from happening? How can we find ways to keep us away from despair or to restore our hope in God and in life itself? As I thought about this, as I was preparing, I thought about some examples of those who lose heart or are filled with despair. Maybe you are thinking of some yourself. I watch a lot of crime shows. Person who's wrongly convicted of a crime and has been sentenced to life or death row might lose heart, might find themselves filled with despair. Someone who lost their love of their life and now has no reason to go on might be filled with despair. Someone in an abusive relationship with no apparent way out might find themselves in despair. Maybe out of work, sending in resumes, getting no interviews, might find themselves in despair. Difficulty meeting the day-to-day needs, paying bills, providing for their family. An athlete who no longer gets that renewed multi-million-dollar contract or gets injured and is not able to play again might find themselves in despair. A teenager who discovers she's pregnant, or a couple who learns that they are infertile, might find themselves in despair. Despair can feel like a sense of hopelessness that comes over us, a loss of control over your life, an overwhelming sense of inadequacy or incompetence or incompleteness, feeling trapped and unable to escape. Jim Ryan was one of the greatest long-distance runners in the world. His specialty was the mile. If you're a runner, maybe you've heard of him. He ran the fastest mile as a junior in Wichita High School in East Wichita, Kansas. He ran that at 3 minutes and 59 seconds. And then he established a high school and a U.S. Open mile record with 3:55 as a senior in 1965, and a record that stood for 36 years. Now, why do I mention him? Well, there was a time in his career that he lost heart. He began to lose races he should have won, and one day he walked off the track and he just quit running. He later accepted Jesus Christ. He regained a passion for running and for life. But in that one instant, he lost heart. So whether you're an athlete, you're a senior adult, or you're a celebrity or a teenager, there will be times when you will want to give up, that you will want to lose heart. But know this, God has a better way. God loves you, and God has a plan for your life. So let's look at our text again. I'll read it quickly. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Now 16. But do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And we do not look to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Twice in this chapter, Paul testifies that he did not lose heart. How was Paul able to not lose heart? How was he able to overcome despair? Well, I want to share a couple of secrets found in this text. The first secret to overcoming despair is to rely upon the goodness of God. In verse 1, Paul identified that he had received mercy. Paul came into the Christian life because of the mercy and the grace of God. Remember, he had been angry. He had been a vicious enemy of the church. He had consented to the death of many Christians. He had been filled with legalism and tradition that drove him to be an enemy of God. However, God gave him a second chance. Aren't you glad that God is a God of second chances? He gave Paul a second chance. Paul confessed his sins and his failures and his shortcomings, and he turned to faith in Jesus Christ. And after turning to faith in Jesus, Paul relied upon the grace of God to see him through that and every circumstance that came his way. Paul was pressured. He was perplexed. He was hunted. He was knocked down. He received stripes. He was imprisoned. He was in tumult. And he faced sleeplessness. Trials tend to bring out the worst in us. A pastor was making a visitation. He's making visitation rounds on his trusty bicycle. This might be an old story, because I don't think I would ride my bicycle. When he turned a corner, he came upon a young boy trying to sell a lawnmower. "How much do you want for it?" the pastor asked. "I just need enough money to buy a bicycle," the boy said. After a moment of thought, the preacher asked, "Well, would you take my bike for trade for it?" "Mister, you've got yourself a deal," the kid said. The preacher took the mower and began to crank it. He pulled the cord a few times with no reaction from the machine. The preacher called the boy over and said, "I can't get this mower started." The little boy said, "My dad says you have to cuss at it to get it started." The pastor replied, "I'm a minister. I cannot cuss. I've been saved so long, I don't even know how to cuss." The little boy looked at him with a sparkle in his eye. "Just keep pulling on that cord and it'll come back to you." Trials have a way of bringing out the worst in us, don't they? I can't tell you, I shouldn't tell you, how many times I lose my witness when things don't go. I can identify with this lawnmower. I think that pastor sold me his old lawnmower. I have one that won't start. I think I got a crick in my neck because of it. The presence of trials, though, does not negate the grace and the goodness of God. The presence of trials does not erase God's love and His goodness. When we pass through these trials, We may doubt God's love and God's goodness and God's grace. We may question why God allows these things to come against us, why God, a good God, would allow pain and suffering. I think that's natural for us to do that. I think we've all been there at one point or another. But there are many people who live with no hope at all. They live in a state of pessimism and despair. Bertrand Russell was a brilliant thinker. But because he made no room for God in his life and in his thoughts, he couldn't figure out the mystery of life. He once said, "When I die, I believe that I shall rot, and that is the end." He went on to say that all the labors of the ages, the inspiration, the noonday brightness of human genius are destined to extinction. The whole temple of man's achievement must inevitably be burned in the debris of a universe in ruins. This is an example of a person living in the pit of despair with no hope. There are many people who are at the end of their rope, but they are not at the end of their hope. Did you hear what I said? Aren't you glad that you are not at the end of your hope, that there is, you have hope, you have the promise, you know that we have a good God, a God who is mighty and awesome in power, who can meet our needs and answer our prayers, somebody who we can rely upon? Amen. The second secret when faced with disheartening circumstances is that we should turn to God in trust and in prayer. The Bible teaches us that God is a loving God who shares his goodness with his people. The psalmist said, "I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." God knows our problems, and he knows exactly what you are going through. He knows what's going on in each of our lives. Psalm 139, 1 through 4 captures this well. We find these words, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path, my lying down. You are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together." He knows everything about us. He knows everything around us. Sometimes God allows things to happen to us to bring us closer to him, to bring us maybe to our knees. And other times he allows challenges to us so that we'll be blessed. There's a purpose for everything, and oftentimes we don't see the purpose through the circumstance or through the storm. He knows what's going on. He has a plan for us. God wants us to surrender our problems to him. He wants us to turn over all of our cares and all of our concerns and all of our worries to him. Peter wrote, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all of your anxieties on him because he cares for you." God loves every one of us. He showed us how much he loves us when he sent his son to die on the cross to save us from our sins. God created the universe. He created everything around us. He has the power to take care of any problems we throw our way. So why don't we go to the Lord with our problems? How do we dig out of this pit of despair? How do we move from hopelessness and despair to something less destructive? Well, we do that as we focus on our problem and how we view God as being a part of the solution. Our faith directly relates to the hope we experience. Hope is being able to see the light at the end of the tunnel and know that it's not a train. It's understanding that there will be dark days, but there's also going to be a dawn. God will help us when we come to Him. He is a good Father. The Bible teaches this. He is good. The earth is the fullness of God. The people shall be satisfied with my goodness. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He is a good, good Father. Johnny Erickson Tada, maybe you've heard of her. She has an amazing testimony. She was an energetic young woman whose life was forever changed by an accident when she was 17 years old. Her spinal cord was severed as she dove into a shallow river lake. She was forced to live as a quadriplegic, and she nearly lost her life. During 2 years of rehabilitation, according to her autobiography, she experienced anger, depression, suicidal thoughts, and religious doubt. Something that's all too common. Slowly, she did achieve the impossible. She began to learn how to paint by holding a paintbrush with her mouth in her teeth. And she went on to produce and record many albums. She once said, "You don't have to be alone in your hurt. Comfort is yours. Joy is an option. And it's all been made possible by your Savior. He went without comfort so that you might have it. He postponed joy so that you might share it. He willingly chose isolation so that you might never be alone in your hurt and your sorrow." Have you experienced the goodness of God? Have you experienced the goodness of God? We've all experienced the goodness of God. We're here today. We're breathing. We're alive. We're walking. We've experienced the goodness of God. Even if we're not sure of who God is or if we've trusted in God as our Savior, God is awesome in power. He's bigger than everything. He's the creator of life. He's the sustainer of life. So we all have experienced the goodness of God. And if you're a believer, you know of God's goodness because He sent His Son to die on the cross for us, to forgive us our sins. We all know of Job, one of the best known characters who experienced pain and suffering in the Bible. He experienced 5 major catastrophes, and after each one, after he lost his herd and his servants, and one after another, he was afflicted with boils, and what did his wife say? "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." That was a man who was in dire straits. But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speak. Shall we receive good from God? And shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Job affirmed the goodness of God. Paul had the thorn in his flesh. We don't know what that thorn was. It could have been an illness. It could have been a person. It could have been a ministry difficulty. 3 times he prayed for the Lord to remove the thorn. And what did Paul hear? "My grace is sufficient for you." The 4th secret of overcoming despair is to rely upon the power that God has given each of us. When we're faced with despair, we can rely upon the power that is at work in us through the Holy Spirit. Remember, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. When faced with despair, we need to keep our heads about ourselves. We need to think clearly, and we need to stay focused, and we need to exhibit self-control, which comes from the Holy Spirit. It's easy to get caught up in the situation. It's easy to get caught up in what's going on and lose sight of God walking with us, that even though the storm will come and even though the fires will come, we'll not get burned and we'll not drown. God is at work. He's growing us. He's changing us. He wants us to be all that He wants us to be. He uses trials that would drive us to despair, to renew us and to rebuild us. God is at work in our lives, even in your moment of despair. We had a UPS driver for many, many years. Maybe some of you remember him. His name was Curly. He didn't have curly hair like Brian was wearing earlier, but his name was Curly. And he would say, when God goes to blessing, the devil goes to messing. How true is that? A pastor of a church said this, the Spirit of God is present, and we're going to have church. He said, God is up to something. He says, discouraged folks, cheer up. Dishonest folks, fess up. Sour folks, sweeten up. Closed folks, open up. Gossipers, shut up. Conflicted folks, make up. Sleeping folks, wake up. Lukewarm folks, fire up. Dry bones, shake up. And pew potatoes, stand up. But most of all, Christ the Savior of all the world is lifted up. Amen. Amen. So what can we learn from Paul? All of us are going to face problems from time to time. Some of those problems may be difficult things to deal with. No matter what size the problems are, whether big or small, God is watching us through all of the trials and all of the temptations of life, and He understands what we're going through, and He provides a way out, or He provides a way that we can stand under it. He's in control of everything. He can handle your problems, whatever they are. One more passage of Scripture I want to talk about. Psalm 36, 1 through 6. David, the psalmist, the choir master, writes, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer. O Lord, my God, give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. Verse 5. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. And I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Four times David asks, how long? Maybe you have said that same thing. How long? How long? How long? When you find yourself in despair, David prayed that God would open his eyes, that he would see as God sees, that he would get a new set of eyes. So like David, the answer is that we need to trust in God's unfailing love, that we need to rejoice in the joy of God's salvation, and we need to sing to the Lord, even in our despair, even when our hearts are heavy, even when it's difficult, we need to rejoice and sing. Because he has been so good to me. Has God been good to you? Amen. Amen. Take a moment and think about how God has been good to you. He's forgiven your sin. He's redeemed your life. He's crowned you with love and compassion. He satisfies the desires of our hearts. He renews our youth. He works in us with righteousness and justice, and he loves us in our despair. He wants us to trust in him. He wants us to depend upon him, and he wants us to praise him. As a believer, as a child of God, we have the best benefits package that's available to us. These are but a few of the great inheritances that are ours. This inheritance will not fade or spoil, but they're available to all who would trust in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. And you don't have to wait for an open enrollment period. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Cast your cares upon me, because I care for you. The Bible says that we're all sinners. We're all fall short. all have fallen short of the glory of God. The Word of God also says that there's a price for our sin, a price that had to be paid for by Jesus because of His great love, a price that we could not pay. And if we're to have a relationship with a holy God, we need to confess our sins, admit with God that what He sees, agree that we're a sinner, that we need to ask for forgiveness, and have a relationship with Him. And that's the only way we can get to heaven. So I would ask you, are you secure in your faith? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Has there been a time where you've asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin and come into your life and to be your Lord and your Savior? Have you done that? And if you have done that, you are guaranteed a place in heaven one day when you take your last breath here. But if you've not done that, you can do that today. You can take care of business. You can be saved from your sin. You can have the promise of heaven and the gift of eternity. And all you got to do is come up front and the song plays, the invitation song plays, and let me know that, and I'll be able to pray with you, and there will be a counselor that can help you make that most important decision of your life. So if there's a decision that you need to make today for Jesus, don't put it off. Be obedient. Be responsive. You've heard the word. Now it's our time to respond to it. Father, we're grateful for this day that you've given us. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for the encouragement we find in these illustrations that Paul did not lose heart and Job did not curse God as his wife had said. And thank you, Father, for the way that you work in our lives. And even though we go through some hard times, that we do not lose heart and we do not lose our faith. And most certainly, we do not lose hope. I pray, God, that you'd be with us now as we enter into this time of invitation. This is your invitation. And, Father, if there's a decision that needs to be made, maybe for salvation, Lord, we talked about that, or maybe for church membership, Lord, if there's those that are visiting for some weeks and they want to unite with this fellowship and be a part of North Oak officially, Lord, I pray, God, that they would do that and that they would let me know, and we can take care of that today. Maybe there's some that just need to come to the altar and pray, and or maybe just come to the altar or down the aisle and ask for me to pray so that I can encourage them. Lord, whatever it is, help us during this time. Help us to honor you, and we ask that you would be glorified. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.